First of all, we are glad that all of you are here today here at Heights Christian Church. My name is Pastor Jeremy Bannister, and I'm the lead pastor here at Heights. And one of the things that we do different here at Heights is that we go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. And how we do that is that we read the scriptures Monday through Saturday as a congregation together, and then on Sunday, our sermon is taken in whole or in part from the scriptures that we've read. And we do this for a couple reasons. Number one, we do this so that we might know what the Word of God says. We might become biblically literate and really understand what the Word of God says. And the second reason is that we believe that the thread of redemption found in Jesus Christ is found throughout the pages of Scripture from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And by reading the Word of God, we'll be able to share the good news of Jesus even better than we are already able to do. So this is what we are. This is what we are as Heights Christian Church, and we're glad that you're here with us. We want to invite you to join us on this journey, and there's a couple ways you can do that. First way is this. You can go out to the information desk, and at the information desk, we have reading plans. Bobby's holding the one up right there for the entire 2026 reading. And so everything that we're going to read this year, because we're going to be in the wisdom literature, everything from Job to Song of Solomon and the Gospel of Matthew, which we'll do at the end of the year, is included in that reading schedule. The second way you can follow us is that you can go to heightschristian.org, and you can go to the Visit tab, and from the Visit tab, there's a little button there where you can download that same PDF copy of that booklet to have on your phone, to have on your tablet, to have on your computer. And this is so you'll be able to follow along with us wherever you're going. Now, we're in the middle of Psalms right now, and Psalms is a great book of the Bible to be in during this season. Amen? It's a lot of fun. Now, how many of you did the readings this week? How many of you were intimidated to look and say, like, we got 15 Psalms? We're doing 15 Psalms this week. Like, I don't know. We're doing a lot more than what we normally do. And at the same time, there was only one Psalm that had more than 10 verses. Most of these were very, very short Psalms. As a matter of fact, the entire reading for the week only had 101 verses. Doesn't seem like that much when you're saying it that way. It's like 20 verses a day, you know, less than that. 15 verses a day, something like that. And one of the ones that we've read just a couple weeks ago, when we read Psalm 119, was way longer than that. Psalm 119 had more verses in it than all of your reading this week. So you guys might have got punked a little bit thinking you're going to have a lot of reading when it really wasn't that much. But these are called the pilgrimage psalms. And so these pilgrimage psalms, how they came about is that over time, as God inspired the people who wrote these psalms out, they started to collect them, and they kind of became the mantra of the people as they were traveling down to Jerusalem. So when they started traveling down to Jerusalem for Passover, for Day of Atonement, for things that they were celebrating as a people, they would get these caravans together. As a matter of fact, we read about this in Luke chapter 2, when we look at Jesus, and he spends days away from his parents because they have traveled in groups down to Jerusalem to celebrate. And when he's 12 years old, he finds himself over in the temple, and his parents had to take 3 days out of their journey to come back and find him because he wasn't with the caravan. But these caravans that would go down there, they would sing these songs specifically. That's why they're called those pilgrimage songs. If you will, they're kind of like the original playlist. Okay? If you ever created a playlist on your iPod or on your computer, or you're listening on your app or something like that, you're like, I want all my favorite songs. How many of you do that? Raise your hand. This is the original playlist. Okay? Going to Jerusalem, we're going to play these things through there. How many of you do stuff like that when you're going on a trip? What type of preparations do you do? Raise your hand and I'll point to you. What kind of routines do you do? Get ready for a trip. You're going to go someplace in anticipation of a great vacation or something that you've longed to do for so long. What are some of the things that you are likely to do? Beetle? Snacks. Okay. Make sure you have enough shoes. That's it. I'm wearing them. Oh, wow. Packing checklist. Right. Shannon, write that down. We need to do that. Side trips? Oh, like mapping out the area and saying what's nearby and what else can we do? That's pretty awesome. Sunflower seeds. Sometimes that's its own side trip. Maps. How many of you are map people? How many of you are wherever the Lord leads? Okay? Anything else in preparation? Wow, she's preparing for the way back. Like, we have a clean house. So when we come back home, we're coming home to a clean house that we're going to bring all of our dirty stuff into. So that's what's going to happen there. Well, some of the things my family does is I actually do the playlist thing. I will put a playlist of music together for our trip so that, hey, we can listen to songs that we like all down the road and not have to worry about radio stations or anything else. The other thing that we do is, especially if we're going on a vacation, we like to play radio dramas. Anybody who's been in my car, we love playing radio dramas and stuff like that. So they're just fun for us. Adventures in Odyssey, it's not just for kids. I'm just telling you, it's just not for kids. So we have a blast with doing stuff like that. There is an anticipation. We would go out and buy like vacation booklets of the places that we were going just so that we could look at it. But anybody like look up the place you're going? Like you were talking about all the side trips you could do, but even just the place you're going, like I want to map out what I'm doing when I'm there. Not just as we're going there and we're passing through Oklahoma City, we can find something there. But when I get there, Oklahoma City is not a place you go to for vacation. You just pass through. I just said that right now, okay? But we would do the same thing, and it would be this anticipation. It's like you get up to the days and weeks ahead of time, and you're excited. My wife likes to, I'm sharing this, I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. She likes to live out of a suitcase a week before we go because she's excited about going. So she like cleans everything and packs the suitcase and like, I'm going to live out of the suitcase for a week before we go to live out of the suit, because she's just excited. She's like pumped about being there. And it's like, I get to get a little bit of that experience just being there. There's something fun about the anticipation of something amazing. Matter of fact, when we were here, when I was youth pastor here, and they're going to do it again this year, I'm praising God for that. They're going to camp this year. Woohoo! And let me tell you something, as far as youth were concerned, camp, when you're taking that trip to go, camp was the thing everybody was looking forward to. It was like, whoa, we are so excited about what's going to happen. All the preparation of getting ready and the day that you go up, everything that's happening, there's just a giddiness to saying, we get to go someplace, right? It's so fun. That anticipation is really what we're getting with these pilgrimage songs. It's to set up an anticipation of heading into Jerusalem that was supposed to be so amazing. We are going to go and meet with God in a special way. And there's just anticipation that's happening as a result of it. So we're going to gather together and travel in caravans and sing all these songs as we're heading down in anticipation for what we're doing on a yearly basis. It's kind of cool, isn't it? But along with the anticipation comes the attitude. I'm not talking teenager attitude. I'm talking attitude that as you're going down, there's an attitude of preparation all the things that you're doing for anticipation is also kind of this attitude of preparation of what it is that we're going to experience. I remember when I would talk with the kids going up to camp, we would drive, it's about 2.5 hours to El Porvenir from here. And about the last 20 minutes, you're going up the mountain. And first of all, it's beautiful. just the drive up there is absolutely gorgeous. But we're about to go up there on that weekly time period to spend a week drawing close to God, much like what the people of Israel were planning on doing as they're traveling down to Jerusalem, traveling up to Jerusalem. They always travel up to Jerusalem, okay? As they're traveling up to Jerusalem, one of the things that they're preparing for is meeting God in a special way. Well, when we would go up the mountain, I would always tell the kids when we were going up there, saying attitude is a big part of you guys going up and experiencing God. Not because he's hard to be found, but according to James chapter 4 and verse 8, right? It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's a portion of an attitude on our part to be open to drawing near to God so that we can experience him. If you're just going to have your hand out like this, like, I don't want to be here. I wish I'd be someplace else. I'd rather do anything than this. What are the chances you're going to meet God, even if he came right up next to you? Probably not very good. And so what I would tell the kids as we got up on that last leg of the trip up the mountain, as I would say, your attitude means everything. Everything. You want it. We're going up for an amazing week. I know you guys are excited, but if we don't have our mind right that we're going there for the right reason, that we're going there to seek after God for a week so that he might transform us, to change us, there's a very real possibility that we go up there a week and we come back unchanged and nothing's happened because we weren't really seeking and anticipating him. Our attitude was that of just having a good time rather than meeting with the living God. And so we need to prepare our hearts in an attitude of worship. And as we read our Psalms this week, what stood out to me is Psalm 122. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 122, because I believe this is talking about the attitude of what it means to go someplace in which we're hoping to experience a connection with God. Psalm 122. Remember, the caravans are going down to Jerusalem or up to Jerusalem. And guess what? This is what they're singing along the way. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet were standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city should be, solidly united, where the tribes, the Lord's tribes, go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. This is an ordinance for Israel. There thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the well-being of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls, security within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, may peace be in you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pursue your prosperity. Notice how this starts with attitude. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I want to ask you guys a question, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I looked forward to being here today. I look forward to being here every week, okay? But I look forward to being here today, very much so. I rejoice when people say, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm excited to be at church on Sunday. And I'm going to be very honest. That doesn't always translate with people. I wish it did. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Like, I don't want to go to church. You don't have to be a Christian and have to go to church. Church is just full of hypocrites. All the people that you surround yourself with, the people who are there, I don't like spending my time there. The pastor preaches too long. The sermon's too long. The music's too loud. Snacks aren't that good. Coffee's watered down. And you laugh because guess what? That could be all of our hearts at times, isn't it? Sometimes our attitude in coming to this place isn't to be transformed by God, but to be entertained, right? To be set in a position where we feel good or something like that. But that shouldn't be our attitude. We're coming to a place in community to connect with the people of God, to experience the living God who has sent his son to die for us and rise again. And our attitude should be, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. That should be like, yeah, baby, we're going to church today. That's what it's like in Beatles house. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's the way it should be. We should be excited about being in this place. And something happens to us, and I don't know what it is, but something happens to us. Like somewhere around that youthy age period, because I was a youth pastor for 20 years, I can see the switch kind of happen. And it's like when you're a little kid, your little kids are like, church is awesome! And somewhere around, you know, mid-high church is okay, sometimes, whatever. High school, it's hit or miss. College, maybe. That's where you get a lot of that, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian type of attitude. What happened? What changed? And how can we change that back to what we see happening in the section of Scripture that we were privileged to study this past week? That's what we're going to look at together. So my prayer today is twofold. Number one, I want us to be able to change our minds about this gathering time together. This should be something that is a highlight of every one of our weeks. Did you know Sunday is the day every single week that we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord? That's what we're doing. That's why churches meet on Sunday. Sunday is not, quote unquote, the new Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday. That's the day of rest. Okay? Sunday is the day in which Jesus rose from the dead. That's why churches meet. Every Sunday is a celebration. Every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, which is going to be our celebration next week. Amen? That's going to be awesome. And not just because of the burritos. But I want to bring that celebration of Sundays back to every single one of us. That idea that I rejoice when they said, we're going to the house of the Lord. That should be in our households every single week, no matter how our week's been. But how do we get there? And what can we learn from this passage of Scripture that leads us there? Well, I want us to walk through many of the Psalms that we did this past week, because we're going to need to find out the application of who all of this is for, right? We're reading these Psalms. These Psalms are for preparation for our hearts to come in, or at least for the people of Israel, to come in to worship God during the times of festival, during the times of the Day of Atonement, during the times of Passover, during the times where people are coming in to experience God in amazing ways. What are they singing about? How are they preparing their hearts? How do these 15 Psalms do that? And how does that translate to us today? That's my job. So, put your finger at the beginning of our Psalms. We're going to go through many of them in just a second. Psalm 120. Go ahead and turn there. And we'll just be going in order, so just keep flipping with me, okay? Psalm 120 and verse 1. I can almost talk. Psalm 120, verse 1. It says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. So, for the people of Israel, why are we going to Jerusalem? Because I'm a person who's in distress, and God, I called to God, and he answers me. So, it's for those in distress. Psalm 120, verses 6 and 7. I have dwelt too long with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And so it's for those who seek peace. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and of earth. So it's for those who are in need of help. Psalm 122, 3, verses 1 and 2. I lift my eyes to you, the one enthroned in heaven, like a servant's eyes on his master hand, like a servant's girl's eyes on her mistress's hand. So our eyes are on the Lord, our God, until he shows us favor. So it's for those seeking the Lord's favor. Psalm 124, verses 1 through 5. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept over us. It's those for those praising God for his deliverance. Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. It remains forever. So it's for those who trust in the Lord. Psalm 126, verses 4 through 6. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Like watercourses in the Negev, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Though one goes along weeping, carrying a bag of seed, he will come back. He will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. And therefore, it's those for those in need of restoration. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who has filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. It's for those blessed with children. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. So it's for those who fear the Lord. Psalm 129, verses 1 through 4. Since my youth, they have often attacked me. Let Israel say, since my youth, they've often attacked me, but they have not prevailed against me. Plowmen plowed over my back, and they made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut off the ropes of the wicked. It's for those needing protection from the wicked. Psalm 130, 1 through 4. Out of the depths I call to you, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for help. Lord, if you had kept an account of iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness so that you may be revered. So it's for those who are needing forgiveness from their sins. Psalm 131. We'll read the whole thing because it's all three verses. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too wondrous for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like a weaned child. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forever. So it's for those with a childlike faith. Psalm 133. Verse 1, how delightfully good when brothers live together in harmony. So it's for those who desire fellowship with other believers. Psalm 134. Now bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand in the Lord's house at night. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion, for those who worship God. Do you guys get that list, how diverse, how amazingly diverse that list, these pilgrimage songs come through? There is something there for everybody. There is something there for the one whom God has blessed with abundance, and there's been nothing but blessing for that year. They get to go down and praise God, and there's one for the one who's in distress and in need of help and deliverance and restoration and is being oppressed by the wicked and the enemy, and they're going down to Jerusalem, and guess what? They're praising God because that's what the promise of help is for. For the one who's overcome by their iniquity and their sin, they're in that same caravan group. And it's for everybody who's going down in this mighty throng together to enjoy each other's company. But more importantly, to worship a God that no matter what their need is, He has promised to be their help, their restorer, the one who wipes away their sin, gives them joy, peace, a heritage from the Lord. All of these things together, and you get this mighty throng of people together with all that diversity. And guess what? We got the same thing here in the church. Amen? Every week. Every week. You're going to fall into one of those categories. Every week you're going to fall into one of those categories, and you know what your response ought to be? I rejoice when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? I rejoiced. Some days you don't feel like it, though. But it's not about you. It's about coming to worship the God who is there for you, the one who is promised. See, that's what all of this is leading to. Those of you who are astute might have noticed I skipped 132. You're like, he read every one of them, and then why'd he skip? That's the longest one. Why'd he skip the longest one? He doesn't want to read. is the one that focuses on where the promises are found. So let's check it out. Verses 11 through 18 on Psalm 132. Said, the Lord swore an oath to David, a promise he will not abandon. I will set one of your offspring on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my decrees that I will teach them, their sons will also sit on your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever. I will make my home here because I've desired it. I will abundantly bless its food. I will satisfy its needy with bread. I will clothe its priests with salvation, and its faithful people will shout for joy. They will make a horn grow for David, and I prepared a lamp for my anointed one, and I will clothe his enemies with shame, but the crown he wears will be glorious. They weren't just singing of their need and their reliance upon God, they were singing about the Savior who would come and provide it. They did it every year as they traveled down to Jerusalem. That's what they're doing every year. These are the songs that they're singing. And it's so amazing when you think about it. This is the atmosphere that they're going into for Palm Sunday, because all the travelers have come from all the different places, and they've been singing these pilgrimage songs. That's pretty cool when you think about it. They've been singing all of these songs saying, we are so happy we get to be in this place during this time of festival where we're talking about our need, our distress, our help, our blessing, our everything, our forgiveness of sin, everything that is there that is coming by the one who is promised from the line of David, the anointed one of God. We are so looking forward to having that being met. This is why we go every year, every year. This is why we're there. And then Jesus comes along, and he's healing people on the way to his march to Jerusalem, to the throngs of people who are going to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, who have been singing these songs in their companies as they've come to Passover in anticipation of the promise of the Holy One to come. And then we read these words in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. And when they approached Jerusalem and they came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. And at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them, and a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road, and the crowds who went ahead of them and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna, save us to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." They were ready to celebrate. They were anticipating the Messiah to come. They had been anticipating for years and years and years as they had pilgrimaged all the way there. And now Jesus is there. And they're excited. Luke's gospel says this. The Pharisee says, "Tell those people to shut up." My paraphrase. And Jesus says, "If I do, the rocks will cry out." You know what he's saying? They're celebrating right. As he walks into Jerusalem, far be it from anything else, they are celebrating right. They are recognizing their king. Unfortunately, they're going to soon forget that. But they're recognizing right. This is the promise that was promised all the way back in these psalms that they sung every single year coming in. They were ready. They had their attitude, the anticipation and the attitude ready. And when Jesus is on the scene, they are excited because the Son of David has come to save. Praise God. And all those promises for the downtrodden, all those promises for those who need help, all those promises for those who are blessed by God, who have been delivered by him, because he has come to take away our sins and to give us freedom. That's what we celebrate every week walking into this place. Palm Sunday is the celebration that should be ours every single week in this place. Yours and mine. Why? It's a celebration of all that God has done through Jesus our Lord. He has died. He has risen again. We're going to be celebrating that this week, but we celebrate it every Sunday. Amen? And so when you and I are tempted to discount the church because of the people or the imperfections, we need to remember the importance of what Jesus has done for us. We're not here because of the pastor. We're not here because of the songs that we sing, though we should sing greatly. We're here in anticipation of meeting the one who has saved us from our sins and brought all of God's promises to fruition, who's delivered us from our distresses, restored us from that which we lost, and has promised us that there is still yet more to come. I'm here to give them life and life to the full. I am here in this place, week to week, to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to seek out the face of Jesus. So whether I've had a good week or a bad week, whether I've had a hard week, my response should be this. Every single week, I rejoice with those who said to me, Let's go to the house of the Lord. See, my prayer is your attitude will change tremendously about this place and the importance of being in this place every week to rejoice together with fellow believers, but more importantly, to rejoice with a God who sees us in our hurts and celebrates us in our victories and has provided our redemption through Jesus. Would you stand with me? We got a lot to celebrate about, amen? Let's not forget that. We got a lot to celebrate. We got a lot to tell others to celebrate, amen? We still got cards out there. You should be handing them out to everybody. You know why? Because we want them to meet the same God that we anticipate meeting every single week in this place, whether it's a good week or a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad week. We invite you to come and pray. Pray with these gentlemen up front. They'll pray with you. There are people that you guys need to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Come and pray for them up front. Easter's coming. We want as many to come into this place who God would call, who might come into this place and be transformed by the love of Jesus. Amen? But you set that tone. Do you anticipate being in this place weekly? Is your attitude, I couldn't wait to come into the place of the Lord so I can meet with the God who has saved me, redeemed me, cleansed me of my sins, restores me, helps me when I'm in distress? Whatever's going on this week, God is here and he wants to know you. He wants you to know him and celebrate what he's done through Jesus. Let's pray together and let's celebrate together. God, thank you so much. Thank you for this time that we've had together today. Thank you for what you've done in Jesus Christ. Thank you that no matter what our week has been like, whether it's been a hard week, whether it's been a terrible week, whether it's been a blessed week, dear Heavenly Father, you want us, every single one of us, to rejoice because we are in the house of the Lord. Because of what Jesus has done for us, help us not to forget that he is the fulfiller of all of your promises. And because of that, we should be anticipating, seeking him out, having him hear us and transform us and meeting us here and changing us to be more and more like him every single week, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, let us not forget that. So that this place is a place of joy because it's a place where you are. And your people are in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.